Good morning. It is 9:55 a.m. We are here today, April 10, 2019, in the OPA hearing room, suite 907 of the DNA building in Hagatnik, Guam, for the motion hearing of OPA PA 19-002, Basil Food Industrial Services Corporation versus the General Services Agency. Presiding over the hearing today is Public Auditor Benjamin J.F. Cruz. For the record, also present from the Office of Public Accountability are Jarek Hernandez and Tirza Begana. Will appellant Basil Food please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Good morning, Your Honor. My name is Jerry Diaz, and I'm here representing Basil Foods.
Thank you. Will purchasing agency GSA please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Good morning. This is Matthew Wolf from the AG's office representing GSA.
My name is Robert Cono, representing GSA.
And we have Christine Tatau, also from GSA.
Thank you. We may proceed.
Thank you very much, counsel. This morning we have a motion to dismiss that was filed by the government. Are the parties ready to proceed?
Yes.
Yes, Your Honor.
Mr. Wolf, you're recognized.
Thank you. Morning, Your Honor. So today we ask that the motion to dismiss be granted on both procedural, jurisdictional and substantive grounds. So jurisdictional is timeliness, and timeliness goes to sufficient notice that that appellant argues, citing Guam Imaging, that case in the Guam Supreme Court. We look to what is sufficient notice. So we know what it is not. It is not complete and comprehensive notice. It is sufficient means enough. And so what appellant argues, the date that they argue that they learned enough information was when they did the FOIA requests. Now, what did they allege they learned from the FOIA requests? Two things. First, that the law was not followed. Second, that the January emergency procurement went forward without them. So first, let me speak to the law not being followed. Essentially, that is BS because it is inaccurate. You cannot, the 14-day clock doesn't start when one decides to make an inaccurate accusation. As we stated and established in our motion, there was no violation of 5 DCA section 5215. Because that statute has zero limitations on service contracts and zero limitations on the duration of quotations. The notice requirement in that statute is permissive and impracticable regarding the circumstances. Circumstances being that all parties knew that the 180-day quotation was meant to be used and was going to be used. And contrary to what appellant asserts, the notice requirement does not require active solicitation. So now, going to the second thing that they claim they learned, which is that the January emergency procurement went forward without them. In response to this, we look to the canon of construction, the cardinal rule of contractual interpretation, which says that you interpret, you give life, you breathe life to every single term of a contract, and you do not interpret a contract in a way that renders any term arbitrary or meaningless. So, and you don't need a FOIA to discover this. This is Guam Supreme Court precedent as well. And while we're on the issue of arbitrary, do we really think that the other parties who agreed to the 180-day term did so arbitrarily? Do we really think that the other party, particularly the one that...
Why don't we today address the major jurisdictional issue, and that is timing.
Okay.
We'll deal with the other one at a later date, or later. But first, just as to the timing. You admit that there were several FOIA requests, right?
Yes.
And what were the dates of those? There's one on the 23rd, one on the 29th. Is that correct?
Sounds right.
Okay. Well, why don't you confirm it?
Okay. January 3rd from Mr. Kono. Might be in my statement of facts. Let me see. You see, I know that the inquiry was December 29th. Okay, here we go. Oh, I just have January 3rd and January 8th.
Was there a, do I remember of, okay, so there was a, that was the FOIA request. Were there responses from GSA? Is there one dated the 29th? Signed by Mr. Kono for Mr. Mishapaji?
You mean the response?
Yeah. I think you, do you wish to see the file?
So we're just trying to confirm the date of the FOIA request.
Well, the FOIA request, okay, the FOIA request, but the FOIA request, as I understand it, were not clear, and consequently there was a later request for some other answer. And
right.
Then there was a document that I remember seeing, signed by Mr. Kono for Ms. Ekpaji. It was very short-lived. Can you confirm the date on that for me?
Yes, I might need to see the file.
Do you want to give me the file?
Not that one.
Is this it?
Camera records.
This is in your appeal, right? This is attached. I think this was attached to your appeal. So this
yes.
Will be. Is there not a letter dated what was the date of the appeal of this protest? You're arguing that the filing was February the 13th, wasn't it?
I think it was. Let me just verify. The appeal was February 13th, yes.
Was there a correspondence on the 29th?
Of February?
Of
January.
January. You're arguing that the appellant, that the protestant is untimely because it's not 14 days from whatever date that you claim.
Yes.
They're claiming theirs was 14 days from the date of the 29th.
Yes.
And so I'm asking you, was there not a correspondence from GSA, signed by Mr. Kono on the 29th, and if you would find that correspondence dated the 29th, I'd like for you to read it to the record.
Okay. I don't know why the appeal is not in this. Maybe in the agency report.
Mr. Conover sitting next to you could help you and point out the days. But there's correspondence.
Okay, wait. This could be it. January 29th. Yes, this could be it.
Would you read that into the record?
Yes. The whole correspondence?
Yeah.
Okay. This is January 29th, 2019, to Ms. Jerry Diaz. Memorandum regarding protest on DOC emergency food for inmates and detainees. We are in receipt of your memorandum dated January 25th, 2019, in which you are protesting the emergency purchase order for the Department of Corrections inmates and detainees at the Maguilao and Hagania facilities. 5 DCA Section 5425 provides when a protest may be lodged. Section 5425, authority to resolve protested solicitations and awards. Section A, right to protest. Any actual or prospective bidder, offerer, or contractor who may be aggrieved in connection with the method of source selection, solicitation, or award of a contract may protest to the chief procurement officer, the director of public works, or the head of a purchasing agency. The protest shall be submitted in writing within 14 days after such aggrieved person knows or should know of the facts giving rise thereto. You initially requested a Freedom of Information request on January 8, 2019, indicated that you were aware that the government was continuing providing food services at both of the locations. Additionally, please find attached a request from your client dated December 28th and our response, which shows that your client was aware that services were continuing. Therefore, your protest is denied. You have the right to seek any administrative or judicial review authorized by law. Claudia Clark.
Was there a letter where, I recall a letter where it was stated, we're still trying to get something from the Attorney General's office on whether or not we proceed? Very short
inquiry.
Letter signed by.
Yeah, that would be the inquiry. Let me see.
No, it was a response from GSA.
Oh.
It was signed by Mr. Kono, and the very last line, if I'm not mistaken, says something about we're awaiting word from the Attorney General.
That would be January 3rd. Agency memorandum to Michael Zhu, dated January 3rd, 2019. It says, we are in receipt of your memorandum, dated December 29th, 2018, in which you inquired about the bid for the food services for the Department of Corrections. We are currently awaiting for approval from the Department of Corrections with the Office of the Attorney General before we are about to proceed with the bid. We hope that the review will be done soon. Claudia Akwajan.
So at that point, would Basil have been correct in believing that the award had not moved forward?
Well, it's two different things.
Yeah, but that's not very clear as to when. So as of January 3rd, there was still no answer as to who got the bid. You were still waiting for DOC and the Attorney General.
Yes and
so
no, because...
Have,
oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
Yes and no, because this addresses the long-term IFB, whereas both of my arguments and also what they protested addresses the emergency procurement. So they should have known, based on the 180-day term, that the emergency was settled. That term was meant to be used.
So you mean to tell me that any time along the 180 days they should have known or should be filing a protest 14 days from wherever you guys decide that you're going to move?
No. They should have. Ever since when they submitted, at least ever since when they submitted their quotation, which is September 27, 2018, they knew about this 180-day term that they participated in creating and effectuating. And so that's when the 14 days began, is back then.
So in September,
not any time.
So in September, after they submitted their quotation, was there an emergency procurement that was completed in September?
In October, yes.
So in October, there was one?
Yes.
And for how long was that?
It was for 90 days.
And so that would have run until when?
Until the end of December.
And so at the end of December, when would the next emergency have been requested or final or the long-term one been awarded? I mean, this has been going since 2016, for Christ's sake.
It has, yes. Well, I mean, when would the long-term have been awarded?
Well, no, when was the next emergency declaration made and when were they notified of the emergency declaration? So they would know that there was going to be an emergency declaration as opposed to a long-term one.
Well, I think it was December, late December, when they asked the governor for a new emergency. When were they notified? They weren't, because the statute is permissive.
So the January 3rd letter, now I think it's got coming back to me. Now the January 3rd letter then said that things were waiting for the AG, but the response on January 3rd did not provide a copy of the governor's new emergency declaration for an additional 90 days, did it?
No, it didn't.
So when was Basil provided a copy of the governor's emergency declaration?
It was provided. It was separate from the whole initial FOIA packet response.
I'm sorry. Continue.
Okay. So So regarding them claiming that they learned sufficient enough knowledge from the FOIA requests, the second thing that they say they learned was that we actually did go forward in January the emergency procurement without them. Now, we argue that it's our position that they actually knew that beforehand, like I said, in September, for the following reasons. We look to the established, and this is bought into by the Guam Supreme Court, canon of construction, cardinal rule of interpreting contracts, which says that you breathe life into every term. That includes 180 days. First of all, why would you, when the actual emergency contract has to be effectuated within a few days, maybe even 24 hours, what is the purpose of a 180-day quotation?
That would be for two emergencies. Well, the first one was going to be only 90 days. You didn't award a 180-day contract. So when was the second one awarded? And so it's just this whole thing of emergency of people not knowing. I keep trying to figure out how people are supposed to divine that these things are happening when they're not given notice.
Well, it would be for the second emergency, yeah, or any other procurement where
was there a gubernatorial declaration in December for a January declaration?
Yes.
And when was Basil made aware of it? never mind. They'll answer it.
Okay.
Just so you don't know. Go ahead.
Okay. So, the 180 days, again, by the canon of construction, is it's plain, it's just two words, 180 days. It's non-technical, it's not a term of art. So we looked at the plain meaning. We give life to that. And there it is. You don't go any further based on that test in the case law, and because there's no ambiguity. Why is there no ambiguity? Because it's stated eight times. Four times in the RFQ and four times in the quotation. I don't know how much clearer it could be. And it's not a contradiction. They argue that, oh, it goes against the 90-day, you know, the contract is going to be 90 days, which was stated in the emergency correspondence, which is not a binding contract. But first of all, the OPA is bound by what is said in the protest. And actually, the 90-day argument is nowhere in the protest. But secondly, it's not mutually exclusive. It's very possible for the contract to be 90 days and for the quotation to be 180 days. In fact, GSA has done this before. In GSA 056-18, which is for rental of trash bins and containers, they did this. They used a previous firm lasting quotation for successive procurements. And again, they did it in GSA-033-18, which is for design and development and maintenance. GSA successfully, without incident, use a previous firm lasting quotation for a successive procurement. So it's not stupid, it's not unheard of, and it's not a contradiction. And next, if the plain meaning, which is enough, but if it isn't enough, then we go to the rational meaning. Again, what is the rational meaning when the emergency procurement has to be effectuated in a few days? The rational meaning of a 180-day quotation is for future use, of course. I mean, there's GSA precedent for this. So this is what, now we know what they knew back in September or October of 2018. They knew that, of course, the 180-day term was meant to be used and was going to be used. They knew that the plain meaning was clear. They knew that the rational meaning meant future use. They knew that the Guam Supreme Court bought into this. Well, I mean, it doesn't take FOIA to know that, at least. They knew that, I mean, so for, in effect, 4 months, two days short of 4 months after knowing this, they protested, because that was September 27th, 2018, and they protested January 25th, I believe, 2019. So that violates the 14-day rule of Section 5425. And therefore, jurisdiction is not here, and dismissal is appropriate. Now, just a couple more points. Going to further inadequacies of the appeal, they are also asking for a determination of wrongdoing, which again is inappropriate, because as you mentioned in the motion, there was no violation. Zero limitations on service contracts. Zero limitations on duration of quotations. So there was no wrongdoing, so that determination is inappropriate. They're asking for attorney's fees. They renewed their request for attorney's fees. That specifically is forbidden by the 2GAR Division 4, Section 9101G2. And they renewed their request for cancellation when we actually reissued in January the emergency procurement and asking for more quotations. So that essentially gave them what they wanted. So by those three things, this whole appeal is moot. And when everything is either cannot be granted, there's nothing to be granted, or it's been granted, it's moot. And so based on those reasons and the reasons in our pleadings, we ask that this motion be granted.
So there was an emergency contract signed in January.
Yes.
Was that for another 90 days?
I believe so. The
January was for 3 months. They filed the protest. We then.
Well, I'm trying to figure out. So it's there was a 3 month, a 90 day
yes.
contract signed sometime in early January.
Yes.
Does that mean that there's been another 90-day contract that was signed in the last week?
Another 90 days, yes, in January. However, because they filed a protest in February, we went to another emergency for the month of March.
When are we going to get off the emergency? Is this 3 years?
That's a great question. We were in, my deputy from the solicitor's division is in the process of, they were reworking the system, the workflow, and if the program coordinator in these past couple of weeks was not off island for some emergency, death or something, I believe we would have, because I was you know, trying to promise her that we would have it issued, published, the long-term one, at the end of March. So it's actually April, but the program coordinator is off island. But we're at the cusp of publishing the long-term. I mean, I was going back and forth in January about, you know, the specs, and so we did our analysis.
Do you have anything further?
No.
Ms. Spears?
Thank you, Your Honor, and if I may, I actually went running the other day and I injured my back. Would it be okay if I sat down? Thank you, I appreciate it. So there are two main points, aside from the arguments raised in my brief, that I wanted to briefly point out to you today. The first dealing with the timeliness of the protest. They're arguing that we didn't file within 14 days. These emergency procurements, like you pointed out, have been going on for over 2-3 years, and each time there was an emergency procurement, it was always good for 30 days up to 90 days. All the requests for quotations indicated that 30 to 90 day period. The specifications attached to the request for quotations indicated that same period. Every 90 days, GSA would go to the governor and request for an emergency declaration for that same time period. The governor would then approve that same time period, 30 days up to 90 days. So when we're looking at the emergency procurement period from October through December 2018, when we turned in our proposal, we were under the expectation that it was again going to be 30 days up to 90 days. Now, notwithstanding the fact that the prices were to remain effective for 180 days, my clients did not know that, they weren't aware of the repercussions of a statement that said that the prices were going to be, that the prices were supposed to remain effective for that longer time period. We had information that there was an approval from the governor for another 30 to 90 days. The contract said 30 to 90 days. So when we turned in our request for proposal in September, there was never any knowledge at that point in time that this contract would extend up through March or 180 days. So December 29th, December is when we thought, Basil thought that the contract was going to expire. 2 days before the 31st, we sent a letter to GSA saying, you know, what's going on? What's the status of the bid? Got a response on January 3rd, where GSA said, well, we're still working on it. But was that sufficient knowledge that they're still working on it? Perhaps there was a delay, we thought. So January 8th, we requested the documents via FOIA. And in response, on January 11th, we received a stack of 114 pages of documents which had nothing in relation to the January 2019 procurement. There was no notice from the governor authorizing another emergency procurement period, no contract for January through March, no solicitation, no notice of an RFQ. So it was that point where there was no information regarding a procurement starting on January 1st, 2019, that Basil knew that something was awry, something was wrong. There was supposed to be another RFQ for this new emergency procurement, because clearly they had not done the process or completed the process for an IFB, which is what they stated on January 3rd. So likely there was another emergency procurement that wasn't obtained pursuant to the procurement code. So January 11th is the date when we believe that we knew or should have known that there was a right to file a protest. And within 14 days, January 25th, is when we fought that that protest. And so we believe that the protest is timely and that the court does have, or the OPA does have jurisdiction over this case. It wasn't until after we issued another FOIA request that we started getting additional documents. The second FOIA request was on January 23rd, January 29th. That's when we started receiving different sets of documents showing that there was an emergency procurement authorized by
so
the governor.
So you're protesting your bid of January the 1st?
There was no bid. We're protesting the fact that a contract was readily awarded to the company that had it previously without GSA going through the proper steps for an emergency procurement. That's what we're protesting.
Or no knowledge on your part?
No knowledge. And then later...
Because if memory serves me right, the acting... the governor signed the emergency on the 28th of December.
The 21st of December, but we had no knowledge that he had done that.
And what are you asking for in this protest? You're asking for cancellation. How do you address that, their issue of cancellation and move?
Well, clearly you can't cancel the contracts because they've already been performed and fulfilled. So at least if we can get some type of acknowledgement that GSA went through improper channels to procure and award the contract for those two time periods, and then also attorney's fees for filing our motion or our protest and then our appeal, that is what we're seeking today.
I mean, it almost goes without saying, the fact that they've been on an emergency procurement for 3 years shows their inability to be able to work within the procurement statute, which is unconscionable that it would go on for 3 years. And they've now just told all of us they've not awarded another one as of last week. Believe that we would go through a 3-year emergency. And I'm at loss trying to determine whether or not it's incompetence, ineptitude, or intentional. None of the three speaks well of GSA. But I'm still at loss with this protest of exactly what's left with us to do. As you've admitted, cancellation is impossible. As it's already been performed, and now we know that we have another one. but it can't just be ignored either and not recognized that it's costing people money to address whatever it is that they're doing or unable to do. I'll have to take a look at GAR and see whether or not, in spite of the provision in there, whether or not because of special circumstances in this, that attorney's fees would be appropriate, because otherwise every 90 days they can just do what they want without any kind of repercussion. So do you have anything further, Ms. Hughes?
I had a public policy argument that I wanted to get on the record, Your Honor. So GSA seems to place great weight and emphasis on the fact that the request for quotation required that the prices be good for 180 days, and that is, it really flies in the face of the public policy reasons for having the Guam Procurement Code. I touched upon this in my brief, and if I could just Section 5. Thank you. Section 5001 talks about the purposes and rules of construction, as well as the policy reasons for the procurement chapter. And some of those reasons that are applicable today is to provide for increased public confidence in the procedures followed in public procurement, to ensure the fair and equitable treatment of all persons who deal with the procurement system in this territory, to provide safeguards for the maintenance of a procurement system of quality, integrity, and integrity, and the one that I feel which is most important, especially with the issues we're dealing with here today, is to foster effective, broad-based competition within the free enterprise system. Healthy competition, that's what we're focusing on, so that the government gets essentially the best price for the contract that they're offering. And by extending it out 180 days, they're essentially bypassing that competition factor that was supposed to be a part of the entire procurement process. What if they put in the request for proposal that the price should be good for 270 days or 360 days? GSA, in their brief, in their reply brief, dated April 5th, 2019, on page 8, says the states that they argue that there are no durational limits for all quotations in the statute. That is clearly in contradiction to public policy reasons of a healthy competition. So we've always, in the past 2-3 years, have dealt with a 90-day period. Any interested bidder knew that they would have the opportunity to bid within that after the 90-day expired. To randomly change that and extend it out really flies in the face of Guam procurement law. So with this argument and the timeliness argument, it is requested that the motion to dismiss this case be denied.
Mr. Wolf?
Just briefly, Your Honor. Even though government law is regulated, highly regulated, freedom of contract still exists in it. The term was very clear and overly stated, so I don't know how they can claim that they didn't know. But they're a very accomplished business. Business brilliance in quotations is not confined to retrospect either, to hindsight. Very successful businesses are very capable of, in the knowledge that it would last 180 days, lowering their prices even further, which is even better for the government.
This, I don't even know how to describe what GSA has been doing for the last 3 years. It's really serious. I know how capable Mr. Conner is, so I can't say it's incompetence or ineptitude. Which only leaves me with it's intentional. And it's unforgivable. As Ms. Diaz puts it, the policy of the procurement statute is to have things open. It's not to, in the middle of the night, to get the government to sign for emergency procurements for the next morning, you can sign another contract. And just because you have people tied into a price for 180 days or 270 or 360, because as you put it, there should be no limit, there's no maximum time. There is a maximum time when it's signed in an IFB, and there is a full contract that's signed, but not this emergency every 30 to 90 days, and we don't even know whether or not it's going to be 30 or 90 days. We will take this matter under advisement, not because we're not going to dismiss this case, because as you put it, it is moot and there is nothing that we can grant. But I'm taking it under advisement to look to see whether or not this office still has the power to impose attorney's fees against the government for its actions that cause companies to have to hire counsel and incur costs because we have an emergency procurement every 90 days for the last 3 years. Ms. Diaz, submit your attorney's fees costs.
Oh, Your Honor, thank you.
Thank you, we adjourned.
We're off the record at 10:40 a.m.